TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We are the G.O.D.
We
came to rock the spot like Iron Man stars.
Hey to the innocencies
in the world today.
Chair Shot Radio, Chris Platt and the R.E.Y. Cash.
So listen to them clear and put the box right near your ears. Let your
blood
sink down your fears. Cause you can never fuck with Wu-Tang Killer.
Look at the chair. Look at the shit, my chair.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a long time. We should have left you, but we're right back like we left something. Do not adjust your TV screens. Actually, you're not watching this on television. You're actually listening to this via your pod streaming service. Don't adjust that either. Chair Shot Radio has returned. Dun, 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 dun. That's right, folks. The flagship show of Chair Shot Radio Network has returned to bless you with another edition. Of course, you guys know me, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, Mr. Christopher Platt. Great to make your acquaintance once more. Now, we've got a couple of changes to the Chair Shot lineup right now. First and foremost, I have to send a shout out to the Commissioner PC Tunney, as well as the Architect DPP. They're no longer with Chair Shot Radio. Shout out to both of those guys. They will forever be my associates in alcohol and my brothers in booze. It just so happens sometimes, situations and circumstances, you all know what it is. Sometimes life happens. It just does. So, no shade to them. Always love. They're the ones that brought me into this crazy world that we know wrestling podcast, and now we stretch forward and we move on. And it's a new era, it's a new sound, and it's a new day. Yes, it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, show your love for the one, the only, Mr. Raymond Cash.
Oh, my brother.
Testify.
What's happening, man? They brought me back. Yo, I thought y'all forgot about me. Y'all put me in the hole, like on Scandal, where I'm stuck, and you had to let me out. But I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah, you about to get put back in the hole, bringing up Scandal references, bro. What's wrong with you?
My bad. So I see where we're starting off now. Okay.
So no. Ray, I got a couple of analogies in my head, man. You let me know which one is more fitting. So it kind of reminds me of WrestleMania 14, the night after WrestleMania 14, after Shawn Michaels retired, and Triple H brought out Sean Waltman and the New Age Outlaws to form the new and improved DX. Mm-hmm. We could go there. I'm also thinking of when Farouk fired Savio Vega and Crush from the Nation of Domination, and he said he promised that the Nation would be back bigger, blacker, and stronger. So you could go either way there, man. What do you think?
Damn, those are two really good analogies, but the only thing that leads me towards DX is, yo, Kid's actual promo was fire. You know, go on that Bischoff, put this in your pipe and smoke it, the whole thing. Like, he was out there spitting flames. But hell, I say go with both of them, man. You know, because we trying to brand ourselves as one of the blackest shows on the internet. So, you know, you might as well go with the Nation of Domination deal.
All right, right on, right on. And y'all can't see this, but I got my fist up right now. Before we get started, let's get all the housekeeping out the way. So Chair Shot Radio is brought to you by the good folks at Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with thechairshot.com. Ladies and gentlemen, always use your head. And make sure you guys use your heads and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official like a referee's whistle Chair Shot merchandise. We've got shirts in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Come aboard. Be part of the movement. Once again, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official Chair Shot swag, please, and thank you. Now that we've got that out the way, Ray, man, we've got a lot going on this week, man. We've got the Hell in a Cell coming up. A scale of 1 to bazillion, how excited are you for this pay-per-view this weekend?
I mean, then you're gonna make me go to bazillion? That's a lot of numbers. No, in all honesty, if I were to do a normal scale from 1 to 10, I'm about a 7.5 or 8. I am one of your biggest resident Shield marks. So you give me a good Shield story, you give me a good Reigns match, you give me a good Ambrose and Rollins match, I'm in. Everything else is cool, but I'm already invested in those. But then you got Joe out here trying to make families great again. You got.
I guess that's one way to put it. That's fair.
You know, I mean,
I get single white female vibes from Joe in this whole storyline.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit of both. It's a. Well, okay. So since we're talking about Hell in a Cell, do you want to talk about Joe and AJ real quick? Because there was a lot of trepidation about kind of how they started that entire feud. You know, this is something so historic. With those two and TNA and Ring of Honor and all the indies and the five-star matches and everything they've been through together. So their first dance, if you will, in WWE, and it's about AJ Wife. You can understand how, like, old-school diehard fan is like, oh, that's Vince again.
No, I get that. And I think, you know, WWE, the cool thing about it is that right now it operates on a couple of different levels. So you have your mainstream fan that maybe doesn't follow along like we do, then they're not as smart. They just watch the shows on Monday and Tuesday. They have the network, and then they tune into the, I guess, network specials. Pay-per-view, but, you know, network specials. And that's where
Man,
they operate
it's pay-per-view, on. Bro. It's pay-per-view.
Fair enough.
It's never going to change, dog. It's pay-per-view.
Fair enough. And then you got fans like us, man, that we try to hold on to any little bit of information come, you know, about wrestling that we can possibly find. Like, we're on the dirt sheets, as they call them, and we're looking for spoilers and rumors and things of that nature. And we follow the business outside of WWE. So it resonates with us because they did kind of allude to it. They didn't really name any names, but I think Corey Graves is good for that. He'll kind of allude to it. You know, these guys have fought all over the world, blase this, blase that. So right. I think it works on both levels. That's what they're trying to do here. And as far as the storyline, I'm actually kind of digging it. It's taking a real personal turn. And, yeah, AJ is a little spitball, a little firecracker. So so far I've been enjoying this. I don't know where it's going to conclude. We talked about this a little bit on Pod is War last week. You guys check that out. I think every Thursday on Chair Shot Radio Network. But I was saying that I was surprised that this didn't end up in the Hell in a Cell, because if any feud has enough steam going into the Hell in a Cell to be in a cell, it would be this one. And, not to rehash what I said, but I thought that maybe the only reason that it's not in the cell is that this isn't going to be the culmination of the feud. Because, I mean, theoretically, they could ride this out to even Rumble. Because next month we've got the women's pay-per-view, we've got the Super Show in Australia, which is basically a war fight, and TLC. So, I mean, you could ride this out until January, depending on what they wanted to do.
Right. Well, and then I think another part of the fear is you don't want Hell in a Cell to become Lockdown. Like, every feud on the card almost, excuse me, every feud on the card almost can be in the cell. Bryan, the Danielsons versus the Mizanins. That's cell worthy, I think. Becky and Charlotte, that's cell worthy. Ambrose and Rollins versus Dolph and Drew, that's cell worthy.
Wait a second. The Bryans and the Mizes, you want to put them in the? You want to put two women that just had babies in a
no,
cell?
No.
You're an no. animal, man. What's wrong with you?
Well, look, if they can main event SmackDown, I'm just no. No, I don't want. I'm all for equal opportunity, bro. So if they want to get out there and get it, they can get out there and get it. But no, but would you be surprised if you woke up and you're like, okay, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, Hell in a Cell? Nobody would, right?
No. I'm just picking with you, but no, you're absolutely right. You could make a case that every match on this card could be in the cell.
So we're damn near looking at Lockdown all over again with the cell. So you had to pick and choose. And Vince is very nostalgic and very loyal to those of his old school guys, right? So Jeff has been begging and kind of politicking for a cell match before he retires, because him and Matt about to fly off the cage into the sunset eventually, sooner than later. So get Jeff and Orton. And by the way, while I think Joe and AJ and Becky and Charlotte are getting all the, and even Miz and Bryan are getting all the fanfare on SmackDown in terms of feuds. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking legit, like actually legitimately, Orton and Jeffs deserve to sell more than any of the four because it's been the most vicious.
So you mean by vicious, Orton sticking his finger through Jeff's ear, and that was cringeworthy. I give you that.
Right. And then every time they fight is on site. Like it's Peter Griffin and the Big Chicken. Like every time they see each other, it's on site. Whereas the other one, you know, Miz is leaving, he's out and he's hiding, or Joe and AJ. Well, Joe's here and AJ's not there, or Joe's headed to Gainesville to cook dinner with his wife, and AJ's like, no, you know what I mean? So, but every time we see Orton and Jeff, it's on site. So I think they're the most deserving of all the feuds on SmackDown. I think it should be more than one, but I think they're the most deserving.
So how do you see that match playing out then? Is this going to be Jeff's swan song? Because I think Matt is all but done at this point. I know he's been doing some stuff backstage. He's been doing a little bit of agent work, trying to make that transition.
When your spine is fusing with your coccyx, it's time to give it up, dog.
Now, okay, I'm the slow one in the family, so when I hear your spine is fusing to your coccyx, is your spine connected to your taint? Like, is that what you're talking about? Like, that's the first thing I think of. And if that's the case, Jesus, he probably shouldn't be wrestling anymore at all. Like, go do some rock and roll or something. Like, no.
I don't know. Go do some rock and roll.
Yeah, go paint or something. He look like he'd be the painting type, you know?
Well, no, Jeff is a painter. Matt don't know what he want to do. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But no, like his spine and his tailbone are fusing together. Okay. That is a terrifying thought if you know anatomy, because that should not happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matt's finished, bro. That's why you see him in the old big money Matt suits he used to wear, like in TNA early days. He's out there learning the ropes, being a producer and an agent. I think he'll be great at it because he knows the business. He's young enough to where he can still get along with the young cats and help him. But old enough to where he can go to Vince and Vince will actually listen to him. You know what I mean? So that works for him. But do I think this is Jeff's swan song? He's going to swanton the hell out the cage?
And maybe right into retirement. That's what I'm saying.
Right on to my 401k. I don't think this is it. I think Jeff's going to try to swing to Mania and give a swan song. But I think this will be it for him for a while, at least. He'll take some time off.
Yeah, I could see that because that's kind of how they've been playing this whole Randy Orton heel turn. He's going to, you know, he's out here to end people's careers and stuff like that. So I think that's where we're heading. He is going to swanton off that cage. So my question is, does he connect?
I would say he has to because, okay, so the two times Shane's done it, he's missed.
Right.
You don't want to set it up to where every time somebody jumps up the cage, you expect them to miss. So the terrifying thing is... Is Randy prepared to be landed on? You know what I mean? Like, imagine being Randy Orton getting the call. Hey, remember, I know last time I called you, I told you that Brock was going to have to bleed you the hard way. But I got another favor. Can Jeff swanton you off the cell and actually hit this time? I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
So which one would you rather take, the Lesnar elbow or the swan song swanton? Because I'm thinking swan song swanton. I think I'd rather take that one and just tighten up all my core muscles and see what happens.
I'm taking the elbow.
So you're going to let Brock Lesnar elbow you in the head to the point that it cracks you open. Have you seen Brock Lesnar?
I've seen Brock Lesnar, but here's the thing. Brock Lesnar's a trained MMA fighter. So that cut was smooth. It wasn't jagged. It wasn't a million elbows. It was three punches, and the punches weren't even real punches, but the one elbow. You tell him, so it's the old thing, would you take a punch from Mike Tyson? Hell yeah, one. Yeah, so I'll take one elbow from Brock and get my money, then to lay there. Okay, so I know this is completely, like, jumping and going away and on tangent, but have you ever seen the Rikishi Val Venus match? And that was in the cage when Rikishi jumped off this cage and slammed Val Venus?
No, the only Rikishi Hell in a Cell moment I remember is when he landed in the bed of hay or something like that. You remember when they had the six-pack challenge for the title? That's the only Rikishi Hell in a Cell moment I remember.
Well, it wasn't Hell in a Cell. It was a regular cage.
Okay.
But Rikishi jumped off the top of the cage onto Val Venus, and he told Val, I got you to take care of you. And he didn't kill Val. Like, Val wasn't – they didn't have to scrape him off the mat. But that's terrifying to me, to lay down there and see a grown man jump off of that, jump on top of me. It's already terrifying from a regular standpoint of the turnbuckle. It's even more terrifying if you're going to do it off a cage. All right, cool. Off the cell? Nah, bro.
Well, we have a Nissan Versa, and Rikishi is bigger than that car. So, yes, that would be terrifying. Yes, if we're looking at it like that. Like, yes. Yes, having a Nissan Versa come down. Yeah, yeah, that's very terrifying. That's fair.
That's a good way to put that. He's a bit bigger than the Nissan Versa. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Chrysler 200. You might be a little bigger than that right now. My bad.
Nah.
My bad.
No,
but, yeah, I'm taking the elbow, bro.
Wow.
Get it in, get it out. Be done with it.
So it sounds like to me, the anticipation of him falling, that's what would scare you more than anything. Is that what I'm hearing here?
That, definitely, I'd rather get it out the way. Real quick, be done with it than sit there and watch this dude and have him do all the flexing and the stuff and then, nah. And then number two, if I'm thinking of my downtime, I got a cut. I can still live, right? Okay, I might have a concussion. Cool. But I can still move around, do what I got to do. If this dude jump off of the cell on top of me, I'm going to be bedridden for about a day or two. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I'm thinking. I'm processing. But yeah. Go ahead. Go on.
Yeah. It's what injury would you rather have? It's like the lesser of two evils.
I still got to go Swanton, man. I'd rather have the wind knocked out of me than be concussed. That concussion thing scares me because we still don't know what the hell's going on there.
That's fair, but it's going to be more than the wind knocked out of you, bro. It's going to be more than the wind. You're going to have a couple of ribs. You're going to have some extra stuff. It's going to be, don't eat before you, don't, ready for the night today. That's all I got to say.
Fair enough. So what else? So I wanted to double back a little bit because you talked about the Shield matches. Now we've got the Hell in a Cell for the Universal title against Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, I beg your pardon. And then we've also now have the tag team match with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler versus Ambrose and Rollins, but before I get to you, just shout out to Ziggler and McIntyre, I beg your pardon. I'm really into their storyline. I'm really digging that duo. Like, I'm not the biggest Dolph Ziggler fan in the world, and I've been on record of that. I think he's awesome in the ring. I just thought that it was time for him to go do something else, and his voice got on my nerves because he sounded like a little whiny bitch anytime he talked, and that irritated me. Just, shut up.
It fits the gimmick, though.
It does. It was just irritating. It wasn't like, oh, my God, I hate you, Heat. It was like, oh, okay, let me see what ESPN got going on, Heat.
I got you.
But I'm digging them together, man. And Braun is a pretty good promo, and McIntyre has been an awesome promo since he's come back. So it's less heavy lifting that Dolph has to do. It just works for me. So just talk about how do you think they've been booking the Shield this past month, I guess, since they've been back together after SummerSlam? Because I'm digging it personally.
Well, that is kind of I feel like there's like two big conversations on the internet or through diehard or quote unquote IWC fans right now with WWE. It's the Shield Braun story. It's the Becky Charlotte story. So I am a big proponent of the way that the Shield's been brought back. I say that because I'm a big proponent of callbacks. I like when, even if it's the smallest little Easter egg to something that happened before or something that's being foreshadowed. So if you watch the Shield's first, sorry for this cold Michael Cole-ism, but their first Reign of Terror when they were around for the first year and a half.
So, whoa. Okay, number one, you mentioned Scandal. Number two, Michael Cole-ism, man. You're on thin ice, bro. You're on thin ice.
Damn, the first episode, 30 minutes in? Well, hey, it's been real being on Cherry Shot Radio, guys. I appreciate it, guys. I'm back in my hole. But the first time around, the reason the Shield is so legendary as a group isn't just because of their individual accolades outside of the group. It's because we've never seen a group that so truly engrossed like a true group mindset. Like other groups, kind of, sort of, but in the six-mans, like dudes are sacrificing themselves for the other. Ambrose is taking a chair shot so Rollins can get in and hit him. Like they're really like a pack of dogs. And so that cohesiveness, that passion, that want to just make it, because all three of them were in a spot where it was like this or nothing. And it has manifested itself from a kayfabe perspective to for them to be literally unbeatable, unstoppable as a group. The only way you can beat them is if you separate them, right? The Wyatts tried to do it. Evolution tried to do it, and it never worked. So the one time they got beat down was when it was a whole bunch of people, right? So call back to the Shield now. Yeah.
No,
so call back to now.
Touche.
Yeah, go. No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead, man, please.
So we're fast forward to now. They've been apart for a while, but they're still brothers. They're looking out for each other. They're still fighting for justice. And the one time they're able to get beat down, it's the whole damn roster. So now their backs are really, truly against the wall. And they got to come out here and be creative on how they do things. I think it's an expertly told story. And with Braun being the antagonist now, the reason I think is interesting with Braun being the antagonist is because we know one-on-one Braun can destroy all of them. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. Like, yeah, no doubt.
People forget, because, you know, we got the people out there who think Roman Reigns, you know, has beaten everybody, God, Jesus, the devil included. But Roman is 2-1 against Braun. Like, he's lost two matches to Braun's one. And the first and only match he won was the very first match when Braun was still so young he wasn't paying attention. So every time they get together, Braun beat his ass. This is fact. So now you got a guy who you know can dominate all three of them with essentially the best tag team on the show, with the general manager in their pocket, with all the heels on the show hating them too. Now you got a real story.
No, I agree with that. I love it. Yeah, I agree with that. I can't argue at all. I mean, I think WWE has finally realized with this Roman experiment, and it's been mixed results. I know we're both Roman fans. We both love Roman unapologetically. But
yes,
I think they also realized, though, with the Shield, that the sum is greater than the parts. And I mean, they came in the game together. So now they're going to build the entire Raw roster around them. Now, it's very difficult to build heat on three guys because it's three guys. So they had Bronze click up with Ziggler and McIntyre. That was good. And yeah, why not have the locker room come out and beat them up? I mean, the Shield was all for one for all. And they went at everybody when they first came back, kind of talking about the callback you said. So why not? And it's the only way to really get heat on them. So now you have our baby faces in peril. So it's like, it's almost like Breaking Bad or something like that. Well, how are they going to figure their way out of this one? You know what I mean? So I'm all forward. Now, going into Monday night's Raw, I didn't think there was any chance in hell that Roman was going to drop the title at Hell in a Cell. However, the way that Raw went off with him sending Braun through the table with the Samoan drop, you know, typical WWE booking would dictate that that means Braun is going over on Sunday. So is that just a swerve or a red herring, or do you think we could actually see a title change this quickly?
That's not the red herring. The red herring is Mick Foley. That's the red herring. Because now there's an excuse.
Go on.
Now there's a reason that we can say if Roman loses, oh, well, it's Mick Foley. You know what I mean? So, and maybe this is my fandom speaking, but I don't reserve to the fact that the goalposts are moved for Roman more than any other wrestler. I don't believe that. Because if that was the case, then Roman would be in the midst of a 365-day reign right now. Roman's held the world title less than Seth, than probably Kevin Owens, than a lot of people. You know what I mean? So, history dictates that Vince likes Roman in the chase better than the chaser.
And you took the words right out of my mouth, because that's what scares me about Monday, or Sunday rather, the Hell in a Cell. You talk about history repeating itself. If he loses it that quickly, after going through all of that to gain it, now he becomes Dusty. Because you remember, Dusty never really worked on top. Dusty always, in NWA territories, he always worked better, like you said, during the chase, chasing Ric Flair, chasing whomever for the belt. Mm-hmm. I think he actually only held the belt a couple of times, and each time it was, you know, for a quick hiccup. So that's what bothers me. Like, if he loses it this quickly, he turns into Dusty.
So, well, I would argue he's already Dusty. But then it's different because Dusty was drawing on the love of the people, right? So the reason Dusty would lose is because, in booking 101, right? The reason Dusty would lose is because the fans loved him so much, they'd pay more to see him get back at the dude to beat him. With Roman, it's more about the story he's telling. That's why people didn't care about the Brock story, because they went to the well too many times. But the Braun story they cared about because of the story being told. The Bray Wyatt story, until the end, they cared about the story being told. The Seth Rollins story, the AJ Styles story, the initial Samoa Joe story before they went to New Jersey, and people were like, nah, forget that. But you know, like, the Reigns is about the story. So if we're telling the story of, I hate to go back to the well with this for Roman, but the redemption story, I hate that, but he finally redeemed himself against Brock, right? The one dude he ain't never beat, clean, one-on-one, since dude was a rookie, is Braun, right? And that's the whole crux of the whole reason Braun pissed with Roman and got McIntyre and Ziggler. You know what? Hey, I gave you a heads up. I hate you, but I gave you a heads up. I'm a cash in. This was going to happen. You didn't take your beating like a man. You knew I was going to handle that. You called your boys to come handle me. So I got my boys now. I got this cell. I'm going to beat the hell out of you in the cell. So, and knowing that my guys got my back, so that your guys can't come and delay this ass whooping you finna get.
So speaking of Mick Foley here, and number one, it's just weird as hell that they waited a whole 3 months to announce the 20th anniversary of him getting thrown off the cell by The Undertaker. Like, that just makes no sense to me. I mean, hell, I went back in June and watched it. Y'all could have did something, but that's neither here nor there. So number one, that's kind of weird. Just kind of throwing him in there and have him be the referee just out of the clear blue sky. That's kind of weird. So what factor do you think he's going to play in the main event, if any?
Gonna be a dusty finish.
Okay.
He's gonna look. If Foley's involved, he's gonna take a bump. That's just, we know this. Like that we know Foley's. He got his hips fixed. He got his legs fixed.
he got his hips fixed.
More bump. He got one more bump, and he's ready. But we know Foley's gonna, right. Foley in the Hell in a Cell. Going back to when he was the referee for, what was it? It wasn't Shawn and Hunter. It was Hunter and Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we know this. This is just what it is. So, Foley's going to take a bump.
he said
Roman's going to have him beat.
He got his hips fixed. Who is he? Mick Kardashian?
Hey, well, if you look at Mick hips, they protrude a bit.
Mick got hips and ass, man. It is what it is. Like, if we just keep it in the bug, he got hips and ass. He could be a Kardashian.
I'm saying, man.
Yeah. All he need is a new nose and a black man on his arm, and yeah, he's right there. He in there like swimwear.
The boy said a new nose. Well, it can't be any black man. It has to be a rapper or an athlete.
Let's see.
One of the two.
Well, Jason Collins. There you go.
Boom, man.
Or would you prefer Michael Sam? Like, I'm open to options, you know.
Hey, they're available. So, hey,
get you a young tip,
Michael Sam. Last I checked, Michael Sam is quite happy. That's, you know, when he kissed his dude, ESPN, what people weren't too happy about that.
You know, let him live. It was a little contrived. That's the part that got me. But you know, let him live. Whatever.
Everything about the Michael Sam story was contrived. I know we went on another tangent, but that entire story, like, dude, he could play. He was worth being in the league. But the entire story, like, you ain't even signed. You ain't even got drafted yet. You already got a reality show, bro. Like, what you trying to do?
Yeah, touche. Because it sucks. Because, yeah, I think he was good enough to play in the league. I think all the extras is what kind of scared everybody away. But that, you know, But I'm sure he's good. I'm sure he wrote his autobiography and he's doing, like, speaking engagements and shit like that. So he's straight. Lifetime movie coming out soon with Flex Alexander.
A Lifetime movie.
Flex Alexander.
Flex play everybody, right?
If he could do Michael Jackson, he could do Michael Sam, man. What's the dude that be in all the singing movies? Leon. Leon might be a little valved out for Michael Sam.
Right, but Leon kind of got, he might be able to pass off for Michael Sam, though. It look a little more like. I still don't know how Flex Alexander played young Michael. Like, bro, that's nothing alike, dog.
No.
Not a thing.
Like, he really had to bleach his skin like Michael bleached his skin. Like, he started off Michael's original color, and then he had to bleach his skin to play the role.
Oh man, I don't look. We I don't. This show is gonna be off the rails. I can tell you now.
I'm gonna tell you what my favorite one though, and I'm gonna bring it. I'm gonna try to bring it back here to wrestling. My favorite one is when the MC Hammer movie on VH1, and they had Ahmed Johnson playing Suge Knight. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. I need to go back and find that. Ahmed Johnson
as Suge Knight. I can't make this up, man. Look it up. It's got to be YouTube. It's got to be somewhere on the interwebs. It's there somewhere.
Was Suge Knight involved with every West Coast 90s rapper?
Yes, just about, except for Ice Cube. I can't remember them doing anything, but other than that, yeah.
Cube and NWA was a little early for Suge. Suge was still bodyguarding when Cube was doing his thing. Cube was on the Friday when Dude was already coming out trying to do the Death Row stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think, they came out around I think Friday was, 94, 95?
Something like
I think
that.
Death Row was like 92, 93. I think the first Chronic was like 92, and then Doggy Style was like 93. So it was a little bit before Friday, but there's obviously an overlap. Like, that was that era, that strong, they had what a strong maybe, 5-6 year run where the West Coast was just running it in hip hop.
Suge Knight. Wow.
And shout out to Suge, man. He's a gangster.
Are we really giving
Johnson.
Shout outs to Suge Knight?
We're
giving shout-outs to Suge Knight on the pod?
We are certainly giving shout-outs to Suge Knight on the pod. Yes, we are.
Okay.
There's a lot
more
of controversy.
To him if you...
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy that comes with Suge. I can't co-sign everything he's ever done, but, I mean, you got to give him that.
Suge, if you're listening, come on the pod. If you're listening.
Oh, you have an open invitation on the pod. And while we sending out invitations, I'd also like to send one out to O.J. Simpson. I would love to interview you, Ju. So if you're listening, come on the pod. We'll get killer ratings. We'll slap
you. Oh, my God.
Bill Murray, if you're listening too, man, I'd love to have you come on and chop it up with you as well.
Because O.J. Simpson and Bill Murray, you think of those two when you think of each other. Definitely.
This is how my mind works, man. What to do? What to do?
Oh, man. I don't even know where to go with this. To take it back. Yes, I think Mick's going to take a bump some kind of way. Maybe Roman goes to Spear or Superman punch Braun. Mick gets it. Roman gets Braun beat. Foley can't make the pin, and then, you know, they're going to break into the cage eventually, and then Ziggler and McIntyre and Ambrose and Rollins, and it's going to be all this big mess and all that, and then out of all of it, Roman gets beat, Braun finally power slams, and whatever it is, 1, 2, 3. But I do think Braun is winning.
Oh, okay, swerve. Okay, well then I'll be contrary, just to be a contrarian. I'll say Roman's going to pull it out here somehow, some way.
Well, hey, man, you can't take if I don't have many gimmicks, the contrarian gimmick is mine. I've been using it for 8 years. You know what I'm saying? So anything else, by all means, you can't take my gimmick, bro.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then I will rewind. Yeah, Roman's still going to win.
There you go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But that's not even contrarian. That's conventional. That's conventional thought. Like, he just won the title.
No, I
agree. We'll
see what happens, man. Up and down though. This is a great card. So I guess we'll move on to the other Shield component here. Jesus Christ, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
Andrew
Ziggler and Dolph McIntyre. Yes.
I like how you fixed it. You saved it. By the way, does anybody feel bad for the Revival? Like, has anybody seen them since they got jumped last week?
Well, I mean, the problem with them is, man, they're the size of Oompa Loompa, so it's very hard to take them seriously. And WWE has never been big on tag teams anyway.
Oompa Loompas. Okay, so hold on. So those of you listening, I understand. I think I speak for Chris when I say we like the Revival, but what he's saying is true. Being great at wrestling can't be your gimmick, dog. Can't be the only thing you could be known for. So, you notice, nobody realized the Revival wasn't even on Raw. They wasn't in the beatdown. They just wasn't on Raw. Nobody missed them.
And it sucks for them, man. And this is where I miss WCW, because in WCW, because it was treated more as a legitimate sporting contest, you could get over purely on your wrestling ability. Look at a guy like Dean Malenko. He got over just because he was a cold-ass wrestler in the ring. Like, I mean, he wasn't main event or anything like that, but his character was over.
Yeah, but that, number one, that was, the Cruiserweights were on another level. And number two, what worked in 98 ain't going to work in 2018.
That's fair.
Malenko is Roderick Strong in Ring of Honor 2010.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
I do. I'm just not the biggest Roderick Strong fan, but I understand the analogy you're making.
But if Dean Malenko came along in this era, you wouldn't be a Dean Malenko fan either. Because with all respect to Malenko, who might be one of the five best to ever put the boots on, there was nothing else there. And that worked for him. He found a way, much like, you know, I don't know if this guy, we can say that if this guy's name is like
he who shall not be named. Yeah.
Lord Voldemort. Yeah. Just like him, he found a way to make having no charisma charismatic. Did that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. So you don't think a gimmick like that could work nowadays, though?
No, I do think it could work nowadays. She's not in WWE. You can't get over with it. So, perfect example, Daniel Bryan. What's the moment Daniel Bryan got over with the crowd? Got over with the crowd.
Fair enough. It was the skits with Kane when they were doing the anger management thing. Fair enough.
When he had, exactly, when he had something to connect with people. You don't get over, and I mean over, not like Zack Ryder where they like you for a couple months over, but like over with the crowd unless they have something to connect to you with. Wrestling don't connect with everybody. It's something we watch, right? Everybody ain't like diehard wrestling fans sitting here watching Greco-Roman and you know, watching Ohio State versus Michigan and the amateur. Like, everybody don't do that. So at the end of the day, you got to have something that resonates with people. And the Revival don't have it.
Okay, so I totally agree with you with the Revival. Like, I kind of feel bad for them. I feel like they kind of missed their opportunity. They kind of remind me of Bobby Roode. Like, they were born too late. Like, I could totally see them being a main event level tag team in WCW in the mid-90s. And same thing with Bobby Roode. Like, he'd be challenging Arn Anderson for the TV title in 93 or stunning Steve Austin for the U.S. title. You know what I mean? In 93, it would have been a big deal. But they were just born too late. But I do have two counters to your argument, though, about just pure wrestling can't get you over. I got two counters. Seth Rollins, who's in this match that we're talking about, and AJ Styles.
Okay.
And you can't say AJ's soccer mom haircut's what got him over. He looked like Jada Pinkett in The Nutty Professor. Like, you can't say that's what
you're
got
right.
him over.
So, I think, let me, Rollins is the easier of the two.
Okay.
Seth Rollins is, so, you know, my background in this wrestling, quote unquote, journalism, whatever, I started as a writer on Lords of Pain.
Okay.
They have a guy there, his name is Samuel Plan, or we know him, or Plan. He is great writer, got a book out, all that and the other. But he's explained in numerous times and ways and diatribes that Seth Rollins, and I agree with this, is the most layered character WWE has maybe ever had. From going to FCW, to NXT, to The Shield, to The Authority, to the breakup, back to now, the multiple layers of Rollins. It's so much more than just he's a good wrestler. It's the prodigal son. It's the baby brother. It's the, I'm the future of the company trying to live up to something that I'm not prepared for. There's so many different layers there that's more than just wrestling. Now, that doesn't work if the wrestling isn't great. So I'll give you that. But that's not the number one on his list. That's up there in the top three or four, but wrestling is the number one. AJ is so different in that AJ's old. So we've watched AJ for 15 years in other companies. So AJ didn't come over to get over in WWE. He was already over before he got here. The nostalgia kick happened with AJ in that people who had watched him before, and AJ and Joe might be the only two who could have gotten this from the other companies, in that AJ and Joe came over and were known to those fans who didn't even watch TNA. Like for they like people knew them. They might not know Daniels, they might not know Kazarian, they might not know Saban, or but they knew Joe, they knew AJ for whatever reason. Right? AJ's never been low on crowd reaction. But what got him over, he got a big pop at the Royal Rumble. He got a big pop at Mania because that's a crowd of us. But all the other times, he didn't have huge pops. He got his biggest pop when he turned heel on John Cena. So then it wasn't just, I'm a great wrestler. It's that it was an arrogant, I'm better than you. You know, this is my life. I've trained. So yeah, maybe, but it doesn't feel like just, I'm just a good wrestler. With AJ, it was, nobody can touch me. I'm the best that's ever done this type stuff. AJ reminds me a lot of Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like old Shawn Michaels, not like Heartbreak Kid, I'm a smash your wife Shawn Michaels. Like like old Shawn Michaels, you know, with the where his hair looks right when it's before he wrestles and you see the big old bald spot Shawn Michaels.
Okay, you meant, you meant Wonky Konkai, I'm with Jesus now, Shawn Michaels. Like
his, Wonky Konkai, yeah.
Exactly. I see the resemblance, and full disclosure, my two favorites of all time are Rock and Shawn Michaels. So, I obviously see the AJ comparison. The only difference I would say is Shawn Michaels was a better storyteller inside the ring, whereas AJ's offense is so innovative. Like, he just does shit that I've never seen anybody do.
Yeah, but AJ comes from that indie background, and that you don't have to tell the story.
Yeah.
In the ring. You just have to do the best moves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is really telling to me that I read an interview with Ricochet that he did not too long ago, and they were asking him, like last week, and they asked him, so what was the precursor that made you want to sign with WWE? And he was like, well, if I'm honest with you, I was tired of being the dream match guy. Like, all the matches I had, athletically, I couldn't be touched. I had all the best moves, but my matches that never had stories. People were coming up to me telling me that they enjoyed Prince Puma more than they enjoyed Ricochet. And I did the same moves. The only difference was when I was Prince Puma, I was telling stories in the ring and out of the ring. So I wanted to come to WWE because I didn't want to be that guy anymore where people were like, oh, I got to wrestle him because he has great matches. I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to talk more and get better on the mic. I wanted to become a fully rounded pro wrestler. And so I think about AJ in that AJ got to such a high level that he never got the chance to do what Ricochet is doing. Had AJ taken that chance and done that 10 years ago, 7 years ago, then AJ would be literally Shawn Michaels in the ring. He never had the chance to do that because AJ's always just been indie guy who made it to TNA, which was still an indie, and then went to New Japan, which wrestles like an indie, and then got signed to WWE and got pushed to the top immediately.
Fair enough. And I'm glad you brought up Ricochet. He's my current favorite. So I know we're going to spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about him in the future. But I do want to get back here to Hell in a Cell. We're going to get to AJ and Joe here momentarily. But just wrap up your thoughts on Ziggler and McIntyre versus 2/3 of the Shield. I personally think that this has the opportunity to be the match of the night.
Yeah, well, anytime Ambrose and Rollins are involved, it's quite often the highlight of the night. They have impeccable chemistry. They work together. From what we've seen from Ziggler and from McIntyre, they seem to have great chemistry. They're going to go out there and they're going to set the building on fire. But I do think it's too early for McIntyre and for Ziggler to lose. I feel like the goal is, like you said, you want to put the babyface heat on the Shield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing gives them bigger babyface heat than ending Hell in a Cell with Braun, Ziggler, and McIntyre all holding up all three belts. Nothing gets bigger heat than that.
Yeah, I can see that happen.
So that's what I feel is going to happen.
I can see that happen.
So that's what I feel.
Yeah. So what else is on Raw? I'm trying to think. Do they have a women's match this pay-per-view? And ladies, forgive me. I love you. I don't have the card in front of me right now.
The greatest female wrestler of all time in the history of life ever, Ronda Rousey.
Eh, boy.
I'm I'm being. Oh, wait a minute! I struck a nerve. Let's have the conversation. What do you think about Ronda?
Ronda is really good in the ring, considering she's still a novice. Like she, I've been entertained by all her matches. I think that they're kind of positioning her to be the face of the company, which that makes sense because she's the one wrestler they have, male or female, that has the most mainstream credentials. Because, I mean, she's coming in the door with mainstream credentials. So I understand positioning her as the face of the company, and business-wise, it's the smart thing to do. I just don't like her as a person. And I feel like once that charm wears off, that initial, oh my God, it's Ronda Rousey, she's here, yay! I really think they should consider, and I'm just being personal here because I just don't like her. I think that she's going to be better served being a heel. She's just not a likable person in real life.
So, and me and you are both MMA fans, and I'm sure we'll talk some MMA eventually on the pod here, but I'm sure that's coming from her MMA days,
yes.
Right?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So I agree with you in her MMA realm, yes. But if I could be the advocate for Ronda Rousey for just a quick second.
All right, go ahead, Paul Cash.
That's what I'm saying, right? Paul E. Cash. Thank you, sir. listen to Ronda's story, right? Ronda's story is that her mother was a judoka, great judoka, raised her to be a judoka, like, talking about, like, you sprain your ankle, you do 100 more jumping jacks or push-ups, whatever. You know, wake you up 4 in the morning to have you running sprints. Like, Joe Jackson and her, for real, for real. Judo was never her love, right? That was something that she got into. Well, I mean, it's facts, bro. You need a bigger violin than that.
Go ahead.
The point I'm trying to make is, and that's fair, I get it. It's what was me. Everybody got the story. The point I'm trying to make is, I think she was such an unstable creature. I'm not going to use that word. Right?
Go
on. That's the reason.
That's fair. We do have a 44% female audience, so shout out to the 44%. We love you.
Hi, ladies. We love you, ladies. The reason is because she didn't love MMA. It was a job for her. So, you know, when you at a job, we're both old enough to know that when you're at a job that you don't love, but you're successful at and you make money, sometimes you it takes the passion out of it for you and you become a bit of a penis, a dick, right? We know this.
Touche.
So she reached levels that Dana told her, women will never fight in my company. And she's the biggest draw they ever had. You know what I'm saying? So, but with wrestling, it seems like this is what she meant. She was born to do. She talks about how wrestling was all I wanted to do as a kid, but I never had the opportunity because my mom made me do judo.
And, right? And you believe that? I too would like to believe the world is made of rainbows and sunshine, sir. But go on.
Well, damn. I do. I have no reason not to believe her. Especially seeing nobody is that angry, dog. The way she was in MMA, nobody's that angry. No human being is that angry, bro. No human. This woman is married. She got all them little kids. She got the horses and the ducks and the chickens. Everybody that Manny Fresh shouted out on every Cash Money track, she got at the crib. And she can't be that angry no more.
Fair enough. Shout out to Manny Fresh. As I guess when you have Lil Wayne sipping lean in your kitchen every Sunday morning, you can't be but so angry. He seems like a lovable fellow.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I've been very impressed, though, by her transition into pro wrestling. Obviously, she's got some work to do on the mic. That's fair. But in ring,
sure.
I mean, her and Nia Jax had the match of the night at, what was that, Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank. It was tremendous.
Yeah, so I can't, yeah. So they're having the rematch versus her and Alexa Bliss. I mean, there's no way in hell that they're going to take the title off of her at this point, right?
No, and it's WWE 101. Everybody gets a rematch. It sells. It sells tickets. Alexa's the biggest star they have on that brand. So biggest star against Ronda. You make Ronda look good going into whatever she does at Evolution. You make Alexa look dastardly. So she goes in fighting Trish Stratus, the biggest babyface that women have ever had. So it's a win-win situation. But everybody in their right mind know that Trish can't beat Ronda. We know this. Not Trish. Alexa can't be Ronda. Everybody know that. We all know that.
So is that it for the Raw side? Am I missing something?
I want to say, but no, because Rollins is Intercontinental Champ.
Yes.
Goes to show how much we care about the other stuff on Raw.
I mean, SmackDown is clearly the superior show right now, and it has been for some time now. You're making that face. You're making the boo-boo face.
Here's the thing. Raw's entertainment. SmackDown's wrestling. I always go entertainment. I've always enjoyed Raw better than SmackDown. SmackDown right now, I will give you, has the better stories. Sure, I'll give you that. But these aren't stories that are new. Like, Charlotte and Becky been going on 3 years. You know? Like, Miz and Bryan been going on 8 years. Joe and AJ been going on 10+ years. Like, these ain't just stuff that just popped up, right? Orton and Jeff Hardy have been feuding ever since Orton stopped doing having the gold rain behind them. Like, this is old stuff. So, we might have, I think they might do Owens and Lashley.
Oh, who cares? I mean, do you really? Well, I'll just say Bobby Lashley, and we'll keep it moving like an escalator. I'm so disappointed with his return, because I thought, finally, I'm going to get my black champion. And then they came out, and he talked about his sisters, and then they had the Migos dress up as his sisters, and it's just been downhill ever since. He had one highlight, and that was the Roman feud, and Roman brought the best out of him, and that match was pretty good as well. But other than that,
You talking about your black champion? So it's gonna be Big E, more than likely.
That's what we all think, man. But they don't seem to want to break them up anytime soon.
They don't have
or
to
even
them.
Elevate them. Yeah, I don't want them to break up, but they don't even seem like they want to elevate them anytime soon.
So who would be next on the line? Do we have to go all the way to NXT for Ricochet?
I mean, I would love it to be Big E, man. Like, I'm not shitting on Big E. I hope it is Big E. I don't see it happen. Maybe Ricochet. We might even have to wait till Velveteen Dream, honestly. And he's still probably 2 or 3 years away.
Maybe. Dream's gonna get called up way earlier than he should. I feel like that's gonna
happen. I don't want that to happen. He could hang down there for another 2 or 3 years, man, because he's so young, but you're probably right.
The problem isn't, and this is gonna be the problem. Sometimes you can outgrow NXT. The problem is that there is no middle ground between NXT and WWE. There is a 205 Live, but we don't talk about that.
No,
that's the family
no.
We don't talk about. But there's no middle ground. So Dream, I like what they're doing with him now. Like, he wrestled 2 shows for Evolve. That's what he should be doing, because he's outgrown what Full Sail can do for him. Maybe not the actual training center, but the Full Sail. There's nothing left for him to do.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, you could put the title on him, and I think they're setting him up for at least a title match at the next TakeOver show. But I kind of agree with you on that. Like, he's kind of in purgatory right now. Like, he's too big for NXT, but I don't think he's quite ready for the main roster, because they'll throw him out there, and then they'll forget about him, and he'll turn into R-Truth or something like that in 6 months, or Apollo Crews or something.
And he's not like Roddy or Gargano or Ciampa, who are veterans and indie guys who are there to build the brand. He's not that. He's a new guy being built to be the top of the main company.
Yeah.
So everything he needed to do at NXT is done.
Yeah.
You could give him a title match, but he'll never be a champion in NXT because he's not going to be there a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think he will get a title run at some point in time in NXT, but I agree with you. I think he will be called up sooner rather than later, which I guess will be. He's undeniable, though, at some point. You can make that argument too. Like, you can't deny his charisma, and he's steadily getting better in the ring. Well,
right, but when Gargano gets his shit together and realizes he's really a good guy out here, and stop trying to act like a bad guy and really realizes he's a good guy, Gargano's title reign is like 3 years overdue.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm exaggerating in the 3 years, but you know what I mean. So Gargano's clearly gonna be the guy, I think, to take it away from Ciampa, and then whatever happens after Gargano, but by the time that happens, I feel like that's going to be WrestleMania, and Dream is gone.
Yeah,
Dream will be on the main roster by then, I think. So, maybe.
Fair.
But no, that's it, bro. For Raw.
Yeah, it is. I just did my crackpot research on Wikipedia, and you're absolutely right. So we talked about Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. I want to save the ladies because that's a pretty hot feud. So let's double back here and we'll talk a little bit about AJ and Samoa Joe. We have no rhyme or reason or order about this whatsoever, but, you know, fuck it. Let's just roll. AJ, Samoa Joe.
We're figuring this out as we go, man, you know?
Eventually, they have to. I feel like they have to give Joe a title win. And I think it's going to come in this feud somewhere, somehow. Even if ultimately they want AJ to have the title at the end of this program, I think there's got to be a flip here just to keep people invested. I think that's the problem they had with Hilsuke and AJ, is that Hilsuke just kept getting his ass beat every single time, and it became monotonous. And the matches got better as they went along, but by the time it was over, nobody cared.
That's where I'm at. So I like how you put it, Hilsuke. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I feel like the Shinsuke feud, and don't get me wrong, almost every factor of that feud I would have booked the same. Almost every factor. I wouldn't have ended the match in a double dick kick, but that's me.
Yeah, I wouldn't even thought of that. Like, that would have never even came into my consciousness. So, all right. What else?
But like almost every facet of it, I would have almost done the same. I would have ended with Shinsuke as champ, but I get it. Okay, whatever. AJ got he's on the cover of the new game, you know, this, that, and the other. He is the biggest star on the brand, not named Daniel Bryan. I get it. Okay. This feels a lot like the Shinsuke feud, in that we're gonna have a whole bunch of gimmick matches that we're gonna keep getting outs from. And, you know, and Joe's going to keep making me more and more mad, and I'm going to keep finding more ways to hit a ref or to get counted out or to kick him in the dick. And then finally, in the blow off, good guy AJ gets his comeuppance, kisses his wife and his baby as they're sitting ringside. We all walk off and everybody's happy. Hooray. It just feels like that's what's going to happen.
I think you're.
Do I want that to be? Yeah,
no, I think you're right, and I'm with you. Yeah,
I don't want it to happen. I'm always been a bigger fan of heels better than faces, but more so, I'm like that because heels tell better stories. But I just feel like we need a good AJ's held the belt for a really long time. This number one, it'll be a year in October, late October, early November.
Yeah, actually, yeah, because he beat Jinder. Yeah, it's about what, late October, early November. Yeah, right before Survivor Series.
So we're a month away from it being a year. So that's a long time to hold the world championship, number one. And number two, I just feel like the stories that can be told with the heel champ are much better. And it would benefit AJ to get away from the belt and take a break. I mean, I know I don't know if you're a New Japan fan or not, but Okada is the happiest he's been in his life right now.
Yeah.
Because he'll have to hold that company on his back.
Yeah.
You jump off the top rope screaming Scooby-Dooby-Doo and come out with balloons. Like, you just don't care about life no more. Like, life is good.
Touche. Touche. You know what I think is happening, and I hope that I'm wrong because Lord knows I don't want to see this again, and I don't think anybody else is. But I think they're heating up Randy Orton for another heel title run. Like, I just have this sneaky suspicion in the back of my mind. That's where we're heading.
Maybe, but what about Miz?
Yeah, like there's a lot of guys on SmackDown that are deserving of a title run. You know what I mean? And we haven't even talked about Big E, but you got The Miz. You got, I feel Joe needs a title run. I'd love to see E have a title
Andrade
run.
Seeing Almas.
Oh, yeah. I think he's on the, not on the back burner, but I think maybe next year this time we'll talk about that.
Sure.
You know, I think
he's being built.
He's got
yeah.
plenty of time. But yeah, there's a lot of guys on that roster that deserve title runs. So I don't.
But tell me this.
Go ahead.
Tell me the story to run isn't. Let's say Joe doesn't win. Whatever. We could figure something out with that. Mm-hmm. But AJ gets past Joe. Miz sneaks his way to beating AJ. Holds the belt. Bryan wins the Rumble. Miz, Bryan, WrestleMania. Two birds, one stone. Bryan finally wins that damn Royal Rumble so people can forget about 2010 or whatever it was. 2012, whenever year it was. Number one. Number two, Bryan gets his moment again at WrestleMania. The fans can be done. We can move on with our lives. Stop hating Roman now. I think that's the way to go, personally.
I could see that, and a lot of people have that. My counter to that would be what you just said. I don't think you can go in and have Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan as your champions, or even have Daniel Bryan as your champion, Ooh. Because that brings back the whole that whole debacle that we had, you know, three or four years ago.
That's a good point. Bryan as the champs?
Yeah, that's not good. And I see Bryan be positioning that as the new Shawn Michaels. Talking about old wonky coke eye Shawn Michaels. Like every year around WrestleMania, we got excited to see who his opponent was going to be and what the program was going to be. You know what I mean? Because we knew we were going to get a great match out of it. And I think Daniel Bryan, I think that's the slot that they're going to fill him with, or that's the spot that he's going to fill on the main roster.
My only concern about that is Bryan just signed a new deal. What were the terms? What were his guarantees? You know, because Bryan was never leaving.
Money? He just had a daughter, bro.
but Bryan was always going to be good with money. They offered him $1 million to come every Tuesday and say, hi, guys, I'm making a tag team match. So, like, money was never an issue for him or the company. For Bryan, it was about the creativity and about what he could say about his character, about what he was involved with, right? He didn't want to wrestle all the house shows. He wanted to make sure that he had some creative control, not full on, but something like some influence. And that's fair. Like, I think anybody at that level should have some say, you know, at least an idea of what's going on. But I feel like that contract got Bryan one more title, one more world title, right?
All right. So leading this back into Sunday, then it's the Misters versus the Misses. Who do you have winning this one? Do we get that triumphant yes, yes moment with Brie and Daniel sitting on opposite turnbuckles and the crowd going apeshit? Shout out to Beyonce.
Bryan, right, there you go. and Hov, both of them. even though Beyonce did body him on that song, I just want to say that.
Because you know the Migos wrote that, and she rapped the Migos better than the Migos rapped the Migos.
I didn't know the Migos wrote that, but it makes a lot of sense because I can see
it was actually their song. Okay. And I'm sure they tweaked it. She tweaked it a little bit, or, you know, Hov tweaked it a little bit. But yeah, that was actually their song that they had written for themselves, and they ended up taking it. And yeah, she rapped better. She bodied Hov and she bodied the Migos on there. So yeah, shout out to the queen. And we're a pro Beyonce
the hottest rapper.
Not because of me necessarily, but, you know, my better half. So I can't say I'm not allowed to say anything. Think bad about Beyonce whatsoever. So,
yes,
she's the greatest.
I understand.
Yeah. She's the greatest.
Beyonce the hottest rapper of 2018.
Yes.
No, I think Brie and Bryan win for this one reason. Miz is the king of excuses. Miz will say, "You didn't beat me, your wife did," and it adds to that what he's saying that. Bryan, you can't beat me. You had to get your wife out of retirement. And, you know, somebody has to watch your baby because your wife had to punch me in the face because you're not a... The whole thing he's been saying, right? He's been digging low, but he's been killing him with it. So that I think that'll just further it. And this would almost be the case of Bryan winning a match he would much rather lose. Because if Bryan wins this match, knowing that it wasn't him winning, but it was Brie that actually won, because Brie's going to get Maryse in the yes lock and bing, bang, boom. Miz is going to kill him with that. Like, okay, you got the win, cool, but you didn't beat me.
Fair enough.
And that's how the feud's going to extend, and we're going to move on to next month, and this, that, and the other. And you know, they're supposed to be fighting at
the Australia show?
What's the show in Australia? Yeah, but that's supposed to be for the number one contendership, isn't it?
Oh, wow. No, that's...
Or for a title shot.
Oh, that's breaking news. Fair enough. So, okay, when do we pay that off? Is that TLC or is that Rumble?
Man, you know what happens in those shows. It might be the next Saudi Arabia show. I don't know.
Touche.
What happens in those shows, stays in those shows.
Touche. But I think you're half right about the finish. I think we do see Brie putting Maryse in the yes lock, but I also think that Daniel Bryan's going to put Miz in the yes lock, and we have dueling yes locks, and that's how we wrap it up. And then they hug, and the crowd goes ape shit, and they do the yes, yes, and everybody goes home happy.
It's very possible. I mean, that's definitely written out of a Daniel Bryan playbook.
Pretty much.
Possible.
And I've learned that with WWE. When in doubt, go chalk.
You know what? That's but they have that one eye pay-per-view where everything you go chalk with goes the other way.
Yeah, typically it's WrestleMania, because I don't think I ever get any WrestleMania picks correct. You know what I mean? Other than the Undertaker. Fair. You know what I mean? That's a pretty safe bet. But other than that, yeah.
And you say that, but I was at WrestleMania 30, so I can't even say that.
What was that like?
When I tell you I have never seen the air leave a building faster, it was truly the most surreal experience of my life. I have kids. I've been in accidents. I've been in hurricanes. I've lost houses. I've never been in a situation that was more surreal than that 15 seconds after dude counted three. Literally nobody knew what to say, do. We were just stuck. And the best part about it, the best part about the whole thing, Heyman's face was amazing. Brock's smirk was great. But they didn't play his music.
Touché.
So it's like nobody. It's like it was an accident. It felt like this shit didn't really just happen, did it? Because had they played his music, it would have been on, you know, move on like usual. They didn't play his music. So everybody's standing there just like, that's when you see Homeboy with the eyes. Because it was like, did this shit really just happen? And it was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. It, look, man, if you were there, you can't tell me that was the wrong decision. Because if you were there to see that reaction, that will never happen again. That reaction will never be gotten. The only other reaction they could have got was if all this would have beat Cody.
Yeah, touche.
At All In. And but then, even then, they wouldn't have been shocked. They would have jumped. They would have jumped the thing, and
it would have been a riot. Yeah, it would have been a riot. Yeah, it would have been what just happened.
Yeah, God, like, I wish you'd have been there to see that.
Me too, because it was funny, because, you know, the match was because, you know, Taker got concussed in the middle of the match, and it was just like, whatever. And I was at Mine's house, and we were sitting around talking. There's a few of us, and, you know, we're talking and this and that, and then we look over, and my first reaction was, three F5s, that's weird. And, but not thinking, you know. And then that three went down, and I went, whoa. And we literally were just sitting there for about 3 minutes. Nobody said anything, just glued to the television, just absolutely stunned.
Deadass. I'm glad you said that. When he the first two, he kicked out. All right, cool. You know, we've been watching this shit a long time. When he picked him up for the third, I looked at, shout out. No, it wasn't with my boy, Carl, but I looked at my homeboy who I was there with, and I said, he ain't finna hit this shit. He hits it, and I stand up. Oh, my God, he's about to win. Because there's no way, at that time, like, this is way before Roman kicked out of 20 of them.
Yeah.
Way before that. But they wasn't going to let Brock, at that moment, set somebody kick out of three. Not after the brawl that they had. And, if I had hair to pull out, I would, like, it was the, bro, no words.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the moment.
Words. And then all I remember is the dead silence, the audible scream of Paul Heyman, and then the no music, and then the damn 21-1 picture on the Tron. And like that picture is like I could paint it. I could literally draw it and like have the people's shirts and like literally perfectly. It's that embedded in my mind. It's the craziest thing ever, bro.
So I'm sure we're going to talk more about that, but speaking of shocking moments, the resurgence of Rusev Day, or the fact that this thing just got over like Rover. I mean, because I was actually in New Orleans this past year for WrestleMania 34, and Rusev was the most over wrestler the whole weekend. Like, everywhere you went, at the bars, wherever you went, there was an audible Rusev Day chant that just broke out of nowhere. Like, you could be at Popeye's in line, and all of a sudden, a Rusev Day chant would just break out of nowhere.
Here's my question to you. Why did I like him so much? I like Rusev. This isn't coming from a hater perspective. I want to know, why is Rusev or Rusev Day so over? What is it about him?
I have no idea whatsoever. I have no clue. I really don't. No clue. I don't know. Maybe it's like a Judd Apatow movie. Like, you like it ironically or something. I have no idea. I really don't know. I'm grasping for straws. I don't know. It's cool, and I like that he's getting over, and I like him as a wrestler, and I like the act and everything, but I have no idea how this happened. I really don't. I have no clue how this happened.
I feel like it's another case of the crowd latching on to that guy that they feel they want. Okay, so you're a rap fan, I'm assuming,
yes, sir.
Right? So you know about rap, right? I'm from Houston. I can't remember the year. What was it, 2005 or 4 or something, when all the Houston rappers got hot.
Yeah, Paul Wall and Slim Thug and yeah, all those guys. Yeah.
Chameleonaire and Mike Jones, right? The song Still Tippin', for those of you who don't care about rap, just endure me for a second. Still Tippin' came out 2 years before that for us. We had been known that. Like, but for the rest of the world, you know, it was just new, so it was hot. Houston culture, everybody got the grill, you know, fofos, everywhere, you know, the whole nine, right? We had been with it. So for those of us who have been down with it, it felt like, all right, well, cool. Our guys are mainstream. Like, you know, like we knew Mike Jones back when he actually answered the phone when you called him. You know, like that's how long we had known Mike Jones, you know. But I feel like Rusev is like that. Rusev is, and the fans are pushing him because they want to see that guy that they've known forever. They want to be the guy responsible for him getting that big push. So they latch on to a guy every so often. It was once upon a time it was Zack Ryder, and it's you know, it's whoever it's been. Ambrose got it in what 2016. Like, they do that. Of course, Bryan's is legendary. But that they want to see get pushed, and I feel like Rusev is that guy. But it doesn't happen if Aiden English doesn't kill every segment he's in.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And he's got a decent voice, too. And I it's just weird. The whole crew is just weird. It's like the land of misfit toys. But somehow, it works.
Yeah, you say that until Hell in a Cell when Aiden turns on Rusev. It's happening. It's happening.
Oh, so that's what's happening. So, okay, we will not have... So Sunday, so they're not going to let Rusev get the titles on Rusev Day? That's kind of a cruel joke.
Well, I mean, if every day is Rusev Day, technically every day is a cruel joke.
Technically.
I will say this. You talk about swerves. It's set up perfectly for Rusev's Day to beat the New Day, because New Day only won the titles because Rowan tore his whatever it tore. Because the Bludgeons would still be the champs if Rowan didn't tear his. Yeah. So it feels like maybe they're trying to do this to Rusev Day, but I feel like Aiden's been wanting to turn heel on Rusev the entire time, because Rusev been take first and foremost. Have you ever seen Rusev say, "Aiden, you're my friend, you're my guy, good job, Aiden, thank you, Aiden"? No, Aiden, he treats him like a sidekick,
he's the sidekick, man.
You're right. He is. Okay, so facts are facts, right? But when they fell out for that month or so, and Aiden kept trying to help, and Rudin kept getting mad, Rusev kept getting mad at Aiden for helping, and Lana kept getting mad at Aiden for trying to help. And then Aiden realized, all right, well, I helped this time, and it worked, and you don't even give me my props? I got you. He finna get kicked in the face. Rusev about to get kicked in the face, and whatever move Aiden does, I ain't seen Aiden do a move in months, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, and so where do you go after Rusev Hulk Smash is Aiden English? Like, where do they go? Like, I feel like Aiden goes to a big card purgatory. He goes to that Ty Dillinger zone, and Rusev just kind of hangs out in the middle card.
So, so with Bryan back, SmackDown is... Oh, it's stuck with Bryan back now because nobody's going to pass up AJ or Bryan. Nobody's going to pass up Miz or Joe. It is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel that Rusev, he got a world title shot earlier this year and killed it. He killed that match. That was a really good match. Did great in it. Rusev has shown he can sell merch. He's selling crazy merch. He's shown that he can be a star outside of wrestling, which he has done that, especially with him and Lana as the group. I feel that Rusev will get some type of mid-card push, maybe a good long run with the U.S. title again, Rusev will be a world champion in the next 365 days.
Wow. Wow.
It will be closer to the end of the next 365 days. But yeah, he's being bred like Vince likes those guys that are loyal and patient.
Wow. Right? Hot take alert. Because we talked about the logjam they got for the SmackDown title, the world title. So that's a sizzling hot take, my friend.
Yeah, but then also, too, again, these are Vince-isms. You know, we've been watching Vince forever. Vince normally follows a long-ass title reign with a bunch of smaller title reigns.
Right. Okay. So you think they're going to play hot potato for a little bit after
this AJ thing? Guessed, yeah. So if I would have ventured, AJ loses to Miz, Brown were Rumble-ish, Miz loses to Bryan at Mania, Bryan loses to, I don't know, Joe, like a couple months later. Maybe Rusev wins at SummerSlam. Something on that order. But yeah, I see it flipping. Definitely.
Fair enough. You actually just answered my question. I was about to ask you, how do you see the title picture going? So asked and answered, or not asked, but still answered. So fair enough.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, chemistry, baby. Chemistry.
Fair enough. So, I think we squeezed all the juice out of that one. I will say I think Rusev and Aiden are going to go over just because what else you got to do with them, man? And SmackDown, the tag team division is loaded. You got the New Day. You still got the Bar sitting out there. Don't forget about the Usos. Somebody's going to end up getting switched to Raw the next talent shakeup. But the tag team division is loaded, and you can kind of play a little bit with that. So I think the Rusev Day will be on Sunday. Now, last but certainly not least, I wanted to save the best for last because I have absolutely loved the build to this feud, which is Mrs. Rebecca Lynch versus the gold standard, the Touch of Flair, Mrs. Charlotte.
Okay.
First and foremost, I don't see any heels in this feud. Like, I know they're trying to make Becky the heel, but, I mean, she's completely justified with everything that she feels. I also love her heel face because it looks like somebody farted in her mouth, and that just makes me chuckle. But, there's no heels here. I like this, Sherry, these areas are gray, man, because everybody is justified in how they reacted this whole time. And I just been loving the build to this match.
One disagreement. Becky's justified in how she feels. She's not justified in what she's doing. Just because you can be wronged, right? Somebody could do you wrong. Somebody could fuck you over. Somebody could steal something from you, or somebody could take something that you believe was yours. Don't give you the right to jump their ass every time you see them.
She did kind of steal her moment and her spotlight. Plus, they were best friends. You know, love and hate are the exact same thing. They're two sides of the same coin.
You're right.
So that's where the passion comes from and the emotion.
Did Charlotte steal her moment or did Paige steal her moment?
All right, fair enough. But Charlotte could have stepped aside. I'm strictly from a kayfabe Becky position. You would have given my first challenger. I would have gave you a title shot as soon as I had my moment. You would have been the first challenger.
Right.
Don't worry about it. I got you. We're girls. I got you, girl. People
right.
Power or whatever the hell that goofy handshake is that they did.
The sip of the tea, yeah. People power.
Yeah.
Okay, but in the same breath, Charlotte would have given Becky the very first title shot. I'm not sticking up for Charlotte, per se. What I'm saying is, the best heels quite often are right in what they feel. The problem with them is Eric Killmonger. The problem with them is in how they go about what they feel. That's what makes them a villain, right? Or an antagonist, because an antagonist and a villain aren't the same thing. In Becky's situation, right, Becky was never upset with Paige for making the match, for putting her in there. Becky was never upset with Carmella for losing to Charlotte to get in the match. Right? Becky never asked Charlotte to step out of the match. She just went on as is because she just was that confident she was going to win. Charlotte wins, as Charlotte always does, and you jump her. You were upset. The next night you come out and say, damn everybody. Okay. And then we brawl. Ever since then, it's been jump zone after jump zone after jump zone. At this point now, like, your justification is skewed now because everything you're saying, you're not backing up when you're jumping her.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? So let me give you an analogy that I know you'll appreciate. Tommy and Ghost. So in this, so in this situation, Becky is Tommy. It's always all about Charlotte. I take a backseat to you constantly. I don't think Becky had to kill her boyfriend in order to save Charlotte, but same type of thing. I finally get my time to shine. I finally find my little bit of happiness, and you can't even let me do that.
You're right. But okay, let's go into this power analogy, right? Okay. But let's speak facts. Ghost told Tommy to leave Holly alone. Holly almost got them killed. Ghost told Tommy Teresi was a snitch. Don't talk to that dude about our business. Teresi was a snitch. So everything Ghost has said, he's been right. He just done it in a shady way.
Right.
So ultimately, what's the goal, right? At least with Charlotte, Charlotte's been forthright and honest with everything she said or done since Charlotte's been faced, because, you know, she turned on her years ago. We're not going to talk about that.
No, that never happened. But, that was on a different brand, too, wasn't it?
Never happened, yeah.
Yeah.
But she came back. She won the match. She beat Carmella to win the match to be put in the thing. They talked ever since then. Charlotte even asked her about it, and Becky said, don't worry about it, because the best woman's going to win, and it's going to be me. Becky didn't seem like she had no problem with it.
Oh, don't act like they weren't playing up those undertones, though. They were there.
No, they were there. Again, Becky is justified in how she feels. I completely agree with that. But you cannot, how you go about things and how you feel about things are two drastically different things.
That's fair. I'm still Team Becky. Whoop her ass, Bex.
Oh, I am too.
Whoop her ass,
Bex. I am. I say all that to say I'm Team Becky too. Becky's very clearly heel here. Like, there are people who are trying to pitch me that Charlotte's the bad guy. Like, okay, so Chris, you my guy, right? If me and you are up for the same job, I'm not going to step out for that job. I'm going to get it. And when I do get that job over you, what I'm going to do is, hey, bro, I'll take you out to dinner.
Fair enough.
But I'm not going to sacrifice my goals for somebody else when I got kids I got to feed and I got miles and I got business to handle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
So one point of the thing Charlotte said that stuck with me is that the whole shadow thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Becky, you felt like you were my shadow. I grew up underneath the greatest shadow ever. Don't talk to me about no shadow. You know, don't talk to me about a shadow when my daddy's still more popular than me.
Woo.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I couldn't help it.
There you go.
You get kind of have to.
He just got married today on TMZ. I got that alert. I don't know what Charlotte's doing right now. Woo. I know what Ric Flair's doing.
Shout out to Rick. Congratulations, Rick. Maybe this one will work. What's this? What does Rick have, more marriages or title reigns?
Well, okay. Are we counting official or unofficial? They're two different numbers.
Shout out to the Nature Boy, though, man. Congratulations, man. I hope this one works out for at least as long as it will. But yeah, no shade. Shout out to congratulations to Rick, because I didn't think he'd be here to see another marriage last year this time. So shout out to Rick. No shade. Just jokes. But it kind of goes back to what I said. Like, everybody's justified in how they feel. I just like Becky sticking up for herself, because how many times did she get dicked over by somebody who she thought was her friend? I like her showing some gumption and going for hers, man. That's what's up.
But that's normally how it happened, isn't it? Normally, the ones that you should stick up to, you don't. But then you stick up for yourself against the one that you shouldn't. That's real life.
Yeah, that's too. That's poignant, sir. That's pretty poignant, Raymond. Yeah.
You know, I try to give some brevity to the situation. You know. we can look that word up after we get off the call.
Touche. Hey, touche. Man, Charlotte, Becky, who comes out with the belt?
So I do feel like this goes to Evolution.
Okay.
They also have another match, a rematch, I believe, at Super Show.
Okay.
I think Becky gets the title of Evolution because it'll mean more.
Okay.
I think Charlotte sneaks out, or Becky gets disqualified or something. But I, you know, dusty finish, extended to the next show. But I think Becky this isn't your standard AJ Styles feud in that it's screwy finish, screwy finish, screwy finish, I win. I think this ends with Becky actually getting the title.
I'm starting to feel WrestleMania vibes with this Hell in a Cell show because same type of situation. You know, a couple weeks after this, we've got another super show at a foreign market and we're trying to tap into and make a gazillion dollars. So I agree. A lot of these programs are probably going to carry over to that. So, I think Charlotte's going to win here. I like your evolution thing. And that makes the most sense since that title does have to be defended. I think most of the stuff in Australia is going to be either smash finishes or you know, baby face centric. So I could see Becky getting the title at Evolution. And yeah, I think Charlotte goes over here. Now, we're all under the assumption that we're going to get Ronda Charlotte at Mania, right? And that's probably going to close out the show, correct?
As of right now, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
As of right now, I feel like that's it, yeah. Yeah.
So they don't need the title for that. Maybe, you know, I don't think they'd do a title for title unless they were going to do a, you know, So Charlotte wins the Rumble. She challenges Ronda at Raw, and we're off and running.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, how they get the title off of her, I don't know, because I didn't really want them to put the title on her. I'd like her to be kind of strong going into Mania, you know what I mean? So it could be like a, what's the last super fight we had? Like a,
Charlotte and Asuka.
Okay, Charlotte Asuka. I was thinking outside. I was thinking like Pacquiao Mayweather, but that, you know, that wasn't really or something like that. You know what I mean? Like two, but they weren't
Mayweather and McGregor.
Mayweather McGregor. Okay, two guys at the peak of their powers, and yeah, biggest names they could possibly be. But that's just not how WWE books. Plus, they've got 5 hours of television to book every month, so they can't do that.
And a story.
So yeah. But yeah, I think that's where we're heading. I think Charlotte will pull this one out. Eventually, you got to give a title reign to Becky though. But yeah. I think Charlotte pulls this one out.
Well, can I ask you a question? Forgive me for deviating. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What is the biggest match you think, male and female, that they can do still with the current roster?
Well, Charlotte and Ronda, I think that's the biggest woman's match. Prior to last year's Mania, I thought it was Asuka and Ronda, but they don't see that. And I can't get mad at them for not seeing that because Charlotte's got the pedigree. Like, she's a flair.
It's more than that. And this is no diss to anybody who's foreign or anything, because Asuka's amazing. But the match can't sell because neither of them can talk.
Okay, touche. Touche. That's fair. So, and on the male side, you know, up until recently, I was under the assumption that it was going to be Braun and Roman for the title at Mania. Okay. I don't know if that happens now because we're getting it at Hell in a Cell. I don't know. I'm hearing rumblings that The Rock is going to come back. You know, anytime one of his movies tanks, he always comes back and wrestles. And we've also got... I would love it. I would love it. But, you know...
That never crossed my mind.
But that, well, just rumblings, you know, just internet chatter. That's just out there. And then you also got Cena floating out there. We haven't seen him in a while. You got to imagine he's going to show up at least for Mania. So off the top of my head, I would say... The biggest match they could do. The biggest match would probably be Daniel Bryan and Roman, but there's no way in hell you can have that match. So I'm going to say Cena and Roman.
Just because you said there's no way in hell you can have it, they're going to do it. And it's going to be at Mania. It's probably going to be next year. But no, I think the biggest match left is still the Shield Triple Threat. Done right, with build of a couple months, everybody coming in strong. All these are your three top stars of the present and the future of your company. You have told us as much. They're all world champs. They've all been the guy of the company at some point, the guy, the man, the dude, whatever you want to call it. They're a part of what WWE has just named the greatest faction ever. Them finally fighting out for the world champion, universal, whatever, the world championship.
The title, yeah.
At WrestleMania. The title, I think, is still... the match.
Yeah, I could see that.
Personally.
Yeah, fair enough. I forgot all about the Shield. They burned that one up too, so I forgot all about that. But yeah, I could see that.
We don't speak of that one. We don't speak of Battleground. We don't speak of that.
What's that?
Never happened. The triple threat match they already had, it never happened.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Oh, I can't see you. Remember I told you froze on me. So
fair enough. So before we get out of here, man, we've ran a little long. I hope you guys have enjoyed the latest edition of Chair Shot, and trust it's going to get greater later. We're just happy to be back, man. So just come back with us, please and thank you. Thank you and please. But before we get out of here, man, just real quick. Triple G Canelo Alvarez is happening this weekend. The first fight was match of the year as far as I'm concerned. Who you got in the rematch?
Canelo's bigger. Triple G is faster and has quicker hands. I feel like I don't think this will go to I don't think this will finish. I think it'll go to decision. And if it goes to decision, Triple G is built to win match fights at decision, just like the last one. But this will be a unanimous this time. I got Triple G.
Okay, I'm going Canelo. I think
you think so. Yeah. So he ate the right meat this time.
I think so. That's funny. I think so, man. Like, you can make an argument that Canelo is the best pound for pound in the world right now. Triple G, he's a little up there. Yes, he's quicker, but he's a little up there. He's getting up there in age, and I think the mileage is going to start to catch up on him. So I think Canelo pulls this one out, and then we get the rematch next September, the rubber match, if you will, next September.
I'll tell you this. Canelo definitely humbled him in the last fight.
Yeah, oh, most definitely, yeah.
Because Triple G was untouchable, and Canelo caught that boy a couple times and made him reconsider what he was doing. So, yeah, I give you that. But I still think Triple G sneaks out with the unanimous decision.
Either way, I'm excited, man, and it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Hell yes. Oh, speaking of that, if I can project, next week, I believe, is, I don't know if the fight's next week, but the press conference for Khabib and McGregor is next Thursday.
Nice.
That's coming up.
Nice.
I'm ready for that.
Nice. Yeah, because McGregor's always good for a press conference, so yeah. I can get down with that.
But last time they were in the same country, you know, you saw what happened. So they're going to be next to each other. I'm telling if you. So for those of you listening who don't know what we're talking about, if you've ever seen a WWE brawl where they bring the whole roster out, that's going to be McGregor and Khabib when they have their promo. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. This is going to be like 40 marshals, it's guns drawn, snipers on the roof. It's going to be crazy.
It's hilarious, man, because UFC does WWE better than WWE at this point. They really
and
do.
And WWE does UFC.
Better than UFC, yeah.
What can you say?
Go figure. But everybody's making money, so I guess it's all good. So, Big Ray, why don't you let the good people know where they can find you, brother?
You can holler at your boy on Twitter at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. I do want to give a quick shout out to my my other show, The Outsider's Edge. Shout out to my boy Carl. Shout out to my boy Kyle. And I have some news. Starting next week, Outsider's Edge will be simulcast on Social Suplex and on Chair Shot Podcast Network.
Hey,
hold up. So, you know, we're moving in. I actually got a house in on the block, so we here. Yeah, so follow me there. Follow the show at Outsiders Edge SS. Yeah, man. I still write. I got a column coming this weekend. And yeah, you can catch me posted on this block every Wednesday.
Sounds good, man. You guys can catch me at The Real C Platt on Twitter. I bring all questions, comments, and concerns. And if you want to fuss, bring it on. But I guarantee you one thing. Your arms are too short to box with God. I guarantee you. Ray, welcome to the block, brother. Again, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Please and thank you. Become part of the movement. And remember to always use your head. Again, man, it's good to be back here on Chair Shot Radio Network, man. I missed you guys. Also, you guys can always check me out on Pod is War. Typically we record on, or the show comes out on Thursdays. It's going to be slightly delayed this week, so check for it Sunday morning. That'll be your Hell in a Cell preview. So when you wake up and have your tea and crumpets and your coffee and your cigarettes and all of that, you can listen to that, right? And then head into the Hell in a Cell. That'll work out for you. And yeah, man, just
tea, crumpets, cigarettes, and coffee. Where the hell you grew up?
I was trying to cover all my bases, man.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Or English muffins. I guess I forgot them, too. So yeah, if you like English muffins or egg whites or something, whatever, man, just have a bite and listen to that. It'll probably be out posted Sunday morning. And go check out all the great content on ChairShot Radio Network, man. And we've got great shows. Make sure you guys check out Ringside Revolution, man. We've got Miss Brittany Lynn and Miss MJ spitting that spat. So yeah, if you enjoy the misogyny of Pod is War, you need balance in your life. So listen to two ladies, cool chicks that know their shit when it comes to wrestling. And the universe and life is all about balance, so you need that in your life. All right. For Mr. Raymond Cash, my name is Christopher Platt. Thank you for coming back with us. We're back, baby. This has been the I can't call it the inaugural edition. I don't know what to call it.
It's the remix. It's the remix. It's the first edition of the remix.
You heard the man. It's the remix, baby.